Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf Ches. We're going to be picking up on daf Zayin Amud Beis at actually right in the middle of a sugya. So we've been talking about the question, the machlokas, as to whether Hesig Yad, which is the special rule. I'm sorry. The weekly sponsor this week is Adam and Amy Goldman and Hilly and Ellie Kagan, in honor of the DAF leaders and Moshe Abramson for making it possible to tune into the DAF online. And our monthly Talmud Torah sponsor, in honor of the members of Suburban for their warmth. Okay. So today's, as I was saying, today's DAF is DAF Ches. We're picking up DAF Zayin Amud Beis in the middle of a sugya. We're going to pick up six lines from the bottom. But what we were talking about here is we had a machlokas with Rabbi Meir as to machlokas where Rabbi Meir held Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir held that that you would give only either one sela or 50 in the case of someone whose erech is 50. In other words, basically you either give the prescribed amount or you could give one sela. Those are the two choices, and there would be nothing in between. The Chachamim say that there is in between. So the question is that we have the pasuk which says v'yamachu me'erkecha v'hemido lifnei akon v'herechos akon al pi asher tasek yad anoder yarechen akon. The pasuk says that if someone's poor and they put him in front of the coin and the coin evaluates him based on what he can afford. So the question is, it seems very clear that the pasuk is telling us that. In other words, there are in-between stages. You can be chayev in the erech, whatever the coin assesses that the person is able to pay. So what does Rabbi Meir do with that pasuk, asher tasig yad anoder? So Rabbi Meir, so that's where we pick up six lines from the bottom. Rabbi Meir, hu yad anoder, lo yad anider hu da'asa. So he's saying as follows, that this is an interesting thing, but in other words, if you read, in other words, the idea would be that maybe there's a special halacha, which is saying that this would be some kind of gzeres hakasuv, because it doesn't necessarily make intuitive sense, but in other words, the idea would be that if someone makes pledges, I'm going to give the erech of so-and-so, Reuven, and Reuven is not able to afford his own full erech, so then you would give, based on the erech of Reuven who's being assessed, which is kind of a funny thing to think about, but that's a way you could have read the pasuk when it says, v'yamachu, if he is poor, meaning Reuven, the guy whose value you're assessing, v'amidah lefnei akon, you would put Reuven in front of the coin, v'herech also akon, and the coin would figure out how much Reuven is worth, and that's how much the person who makes the erech vow would pay, regardless of the person who made the erech vow, his ability to afford. So in order to preclude that outcome, we have the pasuk that says, "Asher tasig yad hanoder yarechenu akoin." That it's based on the wealth or the ability to pay of the person who is making the erech vow. That's what we're evaluating. So that's how he uses the pasuk. So we say that's an important limud of Rabbanan. So what about the Rabbanon? What do they do? And how do they know that it's not the Nerach who is valued for his ability to pay, but rather it's the Marech, the one who makes the Erech vow? So the Rabbanon, Lama Melo Shamis Minei, the Hecha Diyada Masegesh Shokol Minei. So the Chachamim say, you're right. We do need that Pasuk to tell us that it's the Noder who's being valued. Asher Tasig Yada Noder, Yarechen Arkoin. That's true. In other words, your limud is correct, but at the end of the day, if you look at what the pasuk does to tell us that, the pasuk says that you evaluate that which the noder is able to afford. So obviously, it's coming to tell you, yes, you evaluate the noder, but the way you evaluate him is to figure out what he can afford, and therefore you should pay whatever he can afford. And it's not 1 or 50 or 1 or 30 or whatever the right number is, it's anywhere in between based on his ability to pay. So now, Amrev Adabar Ava, Rav Adabar Ava says as follows, Hayu biyad of chamesh shloim. Let's say you had a guy, he had five shloim to his name, of Amr Erki Alai, and he said, my erech is upon me, and let's say he was a person who was, 25-year-old male, so he would pay 50 shkolim, but he doesn't have 50 shkolim. Okay, and he, despite that, he says Erki Alai, v'chazar v'amir Erki Alai, and then he went and said it a second time, so now he owes two erech values. So yeah, again, if we're using our example, he now owes 100 shloim. So we say, but obviously he can't pay because he only has five. So what did he go ahead and do? V'nasan arba l'shniya v'achad l'rishona. Now, presumably, that the Kohen, for whatever reason, chose to look at his second erech value, his second erech commitment first, and evaluated him the ability to pay, and he went ahead and he paid four slayim to the second commitment, the echad l'rishona. And then he obviously, since he started with only five slayim and he paid four for his second one, he only obviously has one sela left, and he gave that in fulfillment of his first erech vow. So we say yatsa yedei shteyam, that he's actually has taken care of both of his erech commitments. Why? So the Gemara says my taima. Why is that so? So we say, let me just see what the gears. Okay. So we say balchov meucher shekadam megava mashagava gava. So we say that if you have a creditor who came later than an earlier creditor, but he went ahead and grabbed some assets, what he's grabbed, he's grabbed. So in other words, if I borrow $100 from Reuven, and then I borrow $100 from Shimon, and I only have $100 to my name, Reuven should be getting that money first. In other words, you pay your first debts first, and your later debts later, and if you run out of money, too bad. But the halacha is that if Shimon were to jump ahead and grab my $100, even though theoretically I should have given that money to Reuven, so we say what Shimon does, he can keep. So therefore, that's why in this case, similarly, when someone says Erki Alai, and then he says Erki Alai again, so theoretically he should really pay all of his first debt. He should give all five slayim to his first debt. But for whatever reason, the Kohen did that one second, did the second one first, and therefore he really should owe four. So we say that the fact that he went ahead and paid the second erech vow first, at the end of the day, what is done is done, and therefore that's paid. And so by the time he gets around to the first erech vow, so in other words, now he only has one sela left to his name, and as long as you give minimum one sela, you can satisfy that. So what happened? So that's why the first erech vow was satisfied. Now you might ask yourself, well, wait a second, why was the second erech vow satisfied? In other words, because at the end of the day, he started with the second one first. He had five slayim to his name. So theoretically, what should have happened is he should have to give all five. And if he didn't give all five, then he hasn't paid the full erech. And we know that if someone doesn't pay the full erech, that he owes it if he subsequently becomes rich again. If he subsequently becomes rich. So the question is, fine, I get why the second one is satisfied, because at the time he came, I'm sorry, the one he paid second, but the first one is sequentially, I get why that's satisfied, because by the time he came to that erech vow, he only had one sela left, so that's all he has to pay. But the one he paid first, the second erech vow, at the end of the day, he had five slime to his name, he only paid four, so why is that one satisfied? So we say, because ba'idna de yoyev l'shnia mishabed l'rishona. Be'idna de yoyev l'rishona su lesle. So he's saying as follows, that here's how it works. That theoretically, he had at the, so what happened? He said, Erki Alai. He only has five slime to his name. We evaluate the second one first. So how much money does he have available? Realistically, he has zero available. Why? Because the five slayim that he has in his possession are really mortgaged in a certain sense to the first erech vow that he made. So as far as is considered the second erech vow, he has no money. So how much does he have to pay if he has no money? He has to pay one sela, right? And now he went ahead and took four slayim that he shouldn't have and paid the second erech vow for slayim first. But that's obviously more than one sela, because he has no money to his name, because the five he has are theoretically mortgaged to his first erech vow. So therefore, he paid more than the one sela minimum. By the time he gets to the second one that he's paying, meaning the first one that he made, he only has one sela left to his name. If someone only has one sela to his name, he can pay it, and that satisfies his erech vow, and therefore, if this fellow were to subsequently become wealthy, he would not have to pay anything more, because he satisfied both of them. So says the Gemara, top of Chesamad Aleph. But if he went the opposite order, he did what he was supposed to do in terms of sequence. So he took care of his first erech vow first, and his second erech vow second. So now he messed himself. Well, he did the right sort of the right thing, but he messed himself up, because what happened? The first Erech vow he made at a time he had five Shloim. So he should be paying five Shloim, he should be paying five Shloim to Bedek Abayis. He only pays four. So now he hasn't satisfied his Erech vow, because the only way you become putter from ever having to pay later is if you pay the full amount assessed. He was assessed five, he paid four, so the four is paid, but if in the future he becomes wealthy, he's going to have to pay the other 46. So that one, he has not been Yotze. But the second one, at the time he gets around to paying his second Erech vow, so he used to have five Shloim, he paid four for the first, so he has one Sela left. So obviously he's a destitute man, and how much do you owe if someone is destitute? They owe one Sela. So therefore, the second one he was Yotze, the first one he was not Yotze. So we say, because we say kulo meshabdin l'rishona, so in other words that all of it was meshubed to the first, and he didn't pay it in its fullness. Okay, interesting inquiry. Rabbi Barava asks as follows. So we say as follows, and this was Rabbi Barava who said this case we just dealt with. So he says, what happens? Hayu biyada chamesh shloim. He had in his possession five shloim. That's all he had to his name. Va'amar shnei erchay alai. He's bevas achas. He says, I should have two Erech obligations on me that come at the same moment. So at the same time, he undertook two Erech vows. Mahu. So we say, what's the halacha? Kivan de bevas achas nader, ki adadi tafsi, tafson. So maybe what we say is that since at the end of the day, he made two Erech vows at the same time, he only has two and a half, he only has five Shloim, so maybe the Kohen should say, okay, Yoiv Tarti Upalga Lahai, Utarti Upalga Lahai. So therefore, since these Erech vows came into existence at the same time, so neither one was earlier than the other, so they have equal competing claims, so fine, the Kohen should figure out, you have five Shloim, you took on two Erech vows, pay two and a half to one, two and a half to the other, and then you're done. Because he was poor, he couldn't afford more than two and a half to each, and therefore it's all clear. Odilma, so that's one possibility. Odilma, perhaps kulo chazi lahai, v'kulo chazi lahai. So maybe though that we say no. At the end of the day, he took on two erech vows. But when you look at each one in isolation, you look at the first one and say, well, how much money does he have? He has five shloim. And look at the second one. How much money does he have? He has five Shloim. So therefore, he becomes obligated in five Shloim to each, but he doesn't have it. So what's going to be the case? So there's going to be the case that if he pays some amount to the first one, and so if he pays all of it to the first, to not the first, because there is no first, but if he pays all of it to one of them, so then obviously he's satisfied that because he's given all his money. But the second one, he's not going to have satisfied at all because he didn't give any money. But even if he decides on his own to split it, let's say he pays three to the first one and two to the second one, so then what's going to happen in that case is the first one he's not going to have been Yotze, the first one that he chose to pay, because he only paid three out of five. But the other one, he only has two left. At that time, you would say the two covers it. But the difference between these two scenarios, under the first scenario, the first possibility that Rav Barava is contemplating, if the coin splits it in half, then he satisfies both of his Erech vows, and if he subsequently becomes wealthy, he won't have to give anything. In the second instance, if you think of it that each of them becomes Mechuyev in five Shloim, so then regardless, as long as he pays, if he pays the first one entirely, then obviously he's satisfied that, and if he pays part to the first and part to the second, as long as the amount he paid to the second is at least a Sela, so then he's Yotze the second, but he would not be Yotze the first. So Rav Barava says, which way is it? Do we say you split, or do we say that they each take effect for the full five Shloim at the same moment? Says the Gemara, Teiku. Okay, so now, at the end of our Mishnah, so our Mishnah basically said, started with a rule. It said you don't have Be'erichin, you don't deal with Erichin that are less than a Sela or more than 50, right? Because even the poorest person has to pay a Sela, and even and the Torah never sets anything higher than 50. And then at the end of the Mishnah, it then says the same rule again. So the Gemara wants to know, why did you just repeat the rule that you already laid out in the beginning? So says the Gemara, Hasu Lamali, why do I need this repeated? So says the Gemara, Hakamash Malan Pachus Misela Hudaleka, Hayasra Sela Ikar. He says that when the Mishnah was coming to sell you, there's nothing less than a Sela, is saying that there is nothing less than a Sela, you have to pay a minimum Sela, but there is something greater than a Sela. And when it says, so it says, Yesra al Chamishim Hudulaka, Hapachas me Chamishim Ika. So he says, and when it says that 50 is the maximum, it's saying that's the maximum you have to pay, but it's possible to pay less. So what's the, what are they basically saying? It's basically saying that there are amounts that are greater than one sella that have to be paid, and there are amounts less than 50 that have to be paid. And, so theoretically, that is true regardless of a mayor or a chachamim, but basically the idea is the Mishnah went ahead and repeated this rule to tell you that there are amounts someone could owe between one sella and 50 sella. And that would be halacha like who? That would be like the Rabbanan. So it says the Gemara v'stamak Rabbanan. So the purpose of repeating the rule at the end was to imply that there is something greater than a sella and less than 50 that could be owed, and that only works according to the Rabbanan. So basically, the Mishnah was coming at the end to tell us that the halacha follows the Rabbanan, the Chachamim, and does not follow Rabbi Meir's halacha. Okay. So first of all, I'm gonna take a few minutes to introduce our next sugya here. But also Maishi sent out to the group. We're not up to it yet, but, this is a little bit of a complicated sugya. In fact, for many of you will remember the Mishnah and Avos, which talks about the fact that it says, that Rabbi Elazar ben Chesma Omer that kinin u'pischei nida hein gufei halachos. That kinim and pischei nida. So pischei nida is what the topic we're going to deal with now. It's very complicated. And in fact, we're going to see partially because of this complexity, Chazal at a certain level adopted a different practice as relates to these halachas. And so that's actually a good intro to tell us that everything we're going to discuss now is very relevant as Torah. But it is not relevant la halacha because what we do nowadays is totally different than what it is. But basically, what we're dealing with is the following: is that we often talk about a zav or zava, and we talk about a nida. So there's a big distinction between zav and zava because they're very different things. In other words, when you have a male who's a zav, it's a certain kind of seminal emission that is unique. It's different in a woman. When a woman becomes a zava, it is just her regular bleeding that she might have associated with her menstruation. But the halacha is going to be very different based on when exactly she sees the dam. So notice the difference between dam nida and dam zava is only when it comes, not what it is. So basically there's a cycle of women which goes something like the following. We're going to see it in great detail here. That there is a woman can become a nida minatora for 7 days, and then she becomes a zava for 11 days. I'll explain this in a minute. So the idea is that a woman is on some kind of continuous cycle that goes nida 7 days, zava 11 days, nida 7 days, zava 11 days. That's how it works. We're going to see that according to Rashi, at least. It could be longer than that, but it's going to be a minimum of 18 days from the start of a cycle. And then she can, once the woman finishes that 18-day cycle, she starts the nida cycle again, and that's called pischei nida, the entrance or the entry into nida. So how does a woman become a nida? So we're going to say as follows. Any time that there is dam outside of the 11 days, this is the best way to think about it according to Rashi, and this is... Okay. The best way to think about it according to Rashi is that, pretty much if a woman sees dam during a time that she's not in her ziva period, then that's considered dam nida. And when a woman sees dam nida, she becomes a nida at that point for 7 days. Now, unlike what the practice is nowadays, if she bleeds for 5 days, that's okay. She can bleed for 5 days. She has 2 more days left to her nida cycle. At the end of 7 days, she could go to the mikveh. In fact, if she bleeds all 7 days, that's also fine. When she stops bleeding, she can go to the mikveh and she's no longer a nida. And then she enters into her zava period. What's the significance of being a nida is that, there are significant tumah aspects. Anyone she touches, if she sits on a chair, if there are kalim that she touches, etc. And then and then there's also the halachas that we know in Akremos and Kedoshim that we talk about that there are, isurei tashmish, that if someone has relations with a nida that has a chi of karis. Okay, so that's a nida. What is a zava katana? So in other words, we've talked about this in the past before, but there's a zava katana and a zava gedola. So zava katana is someone who sees dam during that 11-day period of her zivus, that she could be become a zava. If she sees dam during those 11 days, then she becomes a zava katana. What does she do? And we're gonna see the halacha is, if someone becomes a zava for 1 day or 2 days, she's considered a zava katana. And what is the halacha with her? Shemeres yom keneged yom. So basically, if she sees dam for 1 day or 2 days, then she needs to see one full clean day. And after that, she could go to the mikvah and she becomes tar again. She's permitted to her husband, and she ceases to have that form of tuma. Okay, now what is a zava gedola? Basically, if a woman sees 3 consecutive days during her zava period, so during those 11 days, if she sees 3 consecutive days, then she becomes a zava gedola. Now, according to Rashi, and it's different according to Rambam, we're not going to deal with the Rambam today because it gets complicated to understand our sugya, but according to Rashi, that she could be a zava for like years. In other words, if she continues to see blood, or she never gets Zayin Nekiyim, then she's gonna continue being a Zava. So the halacha is, if a woman sees 3 days in a row during that 11-day period, she is now a Zava Gedola, and until she has 7 clean days, she's never going to get out of her Zava status. But once she has 7 clean days, she does a Hefsek Tara, she does 7 clean days, she goes to the mikvah, she becomes Tahar, so unlike a Nida, who needs to, in other words, regardless of how long she sees for, needs to wait till the end of 7 days to go to the mikvah, in her case, she doesn't need to wait. As soon as she starts her Shiva Nekiyim right away. So basically, the halachas are as follows, that a nida is going to be always for a 7-day period. From the time she starts bleeding, she could bleed for 1 hour. She still has to wait 7 days till she go to the mikvah. A zava ketana can see dam for 1 day or 2 days and then just have a open day and go to the mikvah. And a zava gedola is someone who already saw 3 days in a row and then she needs to see Shiva Nekiyim before she becomes mutter. So that's the basic thing. I'm not going to get into Machlokes Beisham Veisil, although Rashi references it. Okay. Now, to be a zava gedola, it has to be 3 days in a row. So, for example, if a woman were to see 2 days of, 1 or 2 days of zava, so she did not become a zava gedola, then she enters into her nida period, and then she sees another day of zava, that she does not become a zava gedola because those were not consecutive days. Similarly, if in her 11 days, she were to see dam for 2 days in a row, and then she has 3 days she didn't see dam, and she sees again, she becomes a zava katana again, but she's not a zava gedola. In any event, during the times of the Gemara, they did away with this distinction. The Gemara says, we encountered it a couple times. Well, the main sugi is a nida. We'll get to a Mirz Hashem this year, but, says that Benos Yisrael Hachmir al Atzman, that the Jewish women took on a chumra, that even if they see a little drop of blood, they're gonna wait Shiva Nekiyim, that they're gonna wait till they have, seven fully clean days. Basically this whole thing of the cycle of 7 days followed by 11 days, Chazal did away with it. And that was in the times of the Gemara. In the times of the Gaonim, they did away with Dam Tohar. It's not so related to the sugya, but Dam Tohar is the days that a woman sees blood after 7 or 14 days, depending on the male or female, if she sees blood, that is Tohar. They did away with that in times of the Gaonim. What's unique about those Takanas are that it's not considered like a Takana Durabanan, it's considered like that's the Halacha Midaraisa. That was a unique kind of Takana, but they had those in those days. Now, what we're gonna be dealing with is the following. What the Gemara calls a confused woman. A confused woman doesn't mean there's anything wrong with her. It means that at some point, she lost track of this cycle of 7 days and 11 days, and we're gonna see that it gets complicated. So if a woman loses track, what halacha she's gonna have. Now, what's the problem if she loses track? That she's gonna end up being messed up in a big way, because what's gonna happen is, let's say she bleeds for 1 day. So, she might be a zava katana. So then what could she do? then she would just have to wait the next day to be clean, and then she could go back to being mutter to her husband, right? But if, so that works well if she's in her period of zivus. But if she's in her period of nidus, so then she's going to, then she's going to need a count, she's going to need a count seven, till the end of 7 days. Remember, she could bleed for 7 days, but as soon as she starts, she can't go to the mikvah for 7 days. So if she was a zava katana, she'd go to the mikvah the next night. If she was starting her nidos, she would have to wait 7 days. Conversely, if, let's say she sees blood for 4 days in a row, right? So if she's a nida, and that 4 days started at the beginning, that started her nida cycle, so then what does she have to do? She just has to wait 3 more days till the end of 7 days, and then she can go to the mikvah, and she's mutter to her husband. But if this turned out to be her ziva days, so then she became a zava gadola, and now she has to wait shiva nikiyim. From the time she finishes bleeding, she has to wait 7 days, at least 7 days, we'll see, till she can become mutter to her husband. Not only that, here's a different problem. Let's say she saw 4 days, we're gonna see this in the Gemara, but let's say she saw 4 days in a row. She saw Dom 4 days in a row. So if those were Nida days, so fine. She has to wait 3 more days and go to the mikvah. If those were Zava days and she became a Zava Gadola, she now has to bring Karbanas. The halacha is that a woman brings a shtei sorim, a shnei b'nei yonah. She has to bring 2 birds. One, echad l'chatas, echad l'ola. One is a chatas, one is a ola. So if she were to see Dom for 4 days, she becomes a suffix that she's mechuyev to bring karbanos. And we're going to see in the Gemara what a woman needs to do when she's a suffix as to whether she became a zava gadola. So it's pretty bad if a woman loses track of her cycle. And what we're going to see is as follows, she's going to need up to 17 clean days before she'll be able to become clean. So now, the Mishnah is very easy to read. Thankfully, the Braisa then walks through all of these cases. So what we're going to say, and if anyone has what was sent out to the WhatsApp, it's worth looking at that, because I don't have enough time to explain it if you're not looking at it. So hopefully we can work this through. So the halacha here is as follows, says the Mishnah. By the way, this has nothing to do with Erechin, that we're going to have a series of Mishnahs since we talked about Erechin, not less than one sella, not more than 50. So we're now talking about lots of things, not less than, not more than. So we're going to say as follows, Ein Pesach betoa pachus mishiva v'lo yeser al yudzayin. So I referenced before, when a woman starts her nidos period, that's considered pischei nida, the opening to nida. So it's saying, if you have a woman who's a toa, she's become confused, she's mistaken, or she's not sure where in her cycle of 7 and 11 she is, so then she has to have a certain number of nikiyim, clean days, not less than 7. She's always going to possibly need 7. And in some instances, well, yes, are you saying she will not need more than 17 clean days to reset her clock to figure out when she's a nida and when she is a zava. Okay, so let's walk through. Tana Rabbanan says to Braisa, Toa sha'amra yom echad tamei ra'isi, Pischa shiva asar. Okay, so now, so we're gonna say as follows, that if a woman says, I saw blood for 1 day, so she needs to wait, and she doesn't know, she's totally confused, she doesn't know, was that my nida days or my ziva days, so the halacha is that she needs to have 17 clean days. So if we take a look, and by the way, this chart here is, I got some from my father, so I'll give him credit for it. You take a look, you basically get the gist of it is if you look that if you have 1 day of blood, which is represented by that red square. So the idea is as follows, and we'll pick up this, will get easier as we go along because you pick up the basic idea. But the idea is we're concerned that maybe that is when she sees Dom, that is the beginning of her nida period. Let's say she hasn't seen for a while, and it's in fact we're finished the 11 days of zava period, and she sees Dom. So the question is, if it turns out that this is, let's say, her first day of her nida period, so then let's think about this. She needs to wait for the 7 days to complete, because anytime she starts becoming nida, she needs 7 days. Then she needs 11 more days of zava to pass. before she can become a Nida again, right? So the question is, if she says, I saw one day of blood, it's possible that she became a Nida right at the beginning, and now she needs 18 days till she becomes Mutter. She needs 17 clean days after that one day of Tumah. So that's what you see when you see option A, maybe in the pink, she's a Nida for 7 days, and then she has 11 days after that, that she passes her Ziva days. And then, if she sees Dam again, she becomes a Nida. So therefore, what do you see? Now, let's say, what's the other option? The other option could be that maybe she was not starting her Nida period. Maybe she had just finished her Nida, that maybe she had finished already her Nida period, and now she's in some kind of Zava period. So it's not a big deal, because if she sees one day at the beginning of those 17 days, she'll have cleared it out, she'll have gotten through all of her days of Ziva, and then plus some, and then she could go to the mikvah when she sees on that 19th day. But if you take a look at the one beneath, you'll see where can it get messed up. It gets messed up in option A. If you only have 16 clean days, so maybe she did 7 days of nidus, then she only had 10 days of ziva, and if she sees dam then that's really her 11th day of ziva, and she did not start her nida cycle. So you, in other words, if you only have 16 clean days, it is possible that she has no idea whether she is a nida or a zava. You need 17 clean days in order to tell her. Says the next case in the Mishnah, that shnei yamim tamei ra'isi pischa shiva asar. Shlosha yamim tamei ra'isi pischa shiva asar. Okay, so these are all ones where she has to wait 17. So let's walk through the next case. So she sees 2 days of blood, so she still needs 17 clean days. Why? Because maybe, so if when she first saw blood, she started her Nida period, then she has 7 days of Ziva, she has 7 days of Nida, two of which she saw blood, and then she needs 11 days of Ziva, so then she actually finishes on the 18th day, that would be fine, and if she'd see blood on the 19th, if that's what happened, she would be starting her Nida period. But what could be another option, which is option B, maybe the 2 days she saw blood, one of them was the 11th day of her Ziva, so she becomes Zava Katana, the next day she becomes a Nida, so she's now a Nida for another 6 days, and then she has another 11 days. Those are the 11 days of her Ziva. So the next day, if she becomes Tameh, that's Nida again. But look at the bottom case. But what could mess us up? That if she only sees 16 clean days, so what you could have is the first day of her seeing 2 days of blood was her Zava. The next day started her Nida period. She now has 7 days of Nida. And it turns out that the 19th day, after only 16 clean days, she sees Dam, that's going to actually be on the 10th day of her Zivus, and if she sees blood the next day, on the 19th day, which is what would have been her 17th clean day, she's still a Zava, because she has 11 days of Zava, and therefore we don't know whether she's a Nida or a Zava. In those two cases, you'll see it on top where it says no carbon. She obviously brings no carbon in these cases because she only saw 1 or 2 days. So clearly she did not become a Zava Gedola. The only time someone brings a carbon is if they become a Zava Gedola. So because she only saw 1 or 2 days, there's no carbon. Okay, next case. So the Brisa says, Arba yamim tamei reisi, if she says she saw 4 days of blood, pischa shisha asar, that she only has to wait 16 days. Why? So let's look at this case. This is the case where she's had 4 days of tumah. So what we're going to start to pick up in the worst case scenario that can happen, the case that's going to most often mess her up, is if she started seeing blood the last 2 days of her Ziva period. So she does not become a Zava Gedola. So then the next day, at the end of the 11-day Ziva period, she becomes a Nida, right? So if, let's say in this case, she saw 4 days of blood. So let's look at option B. You have 2 days of Ziva. You then have 7 days of Nida. She's now at 9 days, right? And she needs 11 days to get past her Ziva period. So that puts her back at starting a Nida period on the 21st day. So what do you see? If she had 4 days, that she was bleeding. She then has 16 clean days. On the 21st day, she's for sure starting her Nida cycle again, because whether she's, and her option A, when she started bleeding 4 days was her Nidus. So those 4 days are in Nidus. She has 3 more days of Nidus and then 11 days of Ziva. She's covered. And even if she saw 2 days of Ziva, then 7 days of Nida, and then 11 days of Ziva, she's now starting her Nida cycle again. But if you look at the bottom, option B, If she only has 15 clean days and not the 16 that the Braisa says she needs, so what happens? The first 2 days, she was Zava. She did not become a Zava Gedola. So the next day when she saw blood, the following 2 days were part of a Nidus. She needs 5 more days of Nidus. And then if she sees on the 20th day, that's actually on the 11th day of her Ziva period, she becomes a Zava Katana. She would not become a Nida. And she would have to wait again because she's not certain that she got out of her Nidus days. Chamisha Yamim, if she says she saw for 5 days. And by the way, in that case, since we're not sure, it's possible that in this case it's a suffix carbon because we're not sure exactly when this happened. And since she saw blood for, this is really option C in this case, so she saw blood for 4 days. If those 4 days, if those first three of those 4 days were during her Zava period, she now becomes a Zava Gedola. And I mentioned to you before, once she becomes a Zava Gedola, her Nidos can't start again. So she could be a Zava for forever or for a year or a month. So therefore, if option C happened, then she's a Zava Gedola, she needs to bring a carbon. If option A or B happened, then she never became a Zava Gedola, she would not have to bring a carbon. So she's a suffix carbon. We'll see that more later. Chamisha Yamim Tamei Reisi Pischa Chamisha Asar. So now we say if she saw 5 days, the main concern would be option B, that if she, the first 2 days were her Zivas, then 7 days of Nidus, then she needs 11 days of Zivas to clear her, so she needs a total of 15 days after she stops bleeding, and then she starts her Nidus cycle anew. But if she did not get 15, if she did not get 15 clean days, which would be option B on the bottom, so then 2 days she became a Zava, a Ketana, 7 days of Nidus. Now she needs 11 days of Ziva, but she, on the 11th day of Ziva, she had blood, so therefore she did not start her Nidus cycle again. Okay, so at this point we become a little bit expert, so we're gonna say as follows, that, so we say, Shisha Yamim Tamei Reisi, she says, I saw blood for 6 days, Pischa Arba Asar, it's 14 days, Shiva Yamim Tamei Reisi, if I saw blood for 7 days, Pischa Shlosha Asar, Shmona Yamim, if she says, I saw it for 8 days, Shmona Yamim Tamei Reisi, Pischa Shneim Asar, it's gonna be, 12, Tisha Yamim Tamei Reisi, Pischa Achar Asar, if she says, I saw it for 9 days, it's gonna be 11 days. And again, because each of these, what's basically happening is that more days of her blood are taking up her Nida days, so she has fewer clean days that she needs to see. We're gonna get back to looking at the charts in a minute. Asara Yamim Tamei Reisi, if she says I saw 10 days, then Pischa Asara. So this is where they line up, that if it's 10 and 10, so before we get to something unique, we could look at that chart, which is 10 and 10. So she sees for 10 days, she sees blood for 10 days. So if that blood started on the first day of her Nidus, so she saw for 7 days of Nidus, then 3 days of Zava, she becomes a Zava Gedola, she needs another 7 clean days, and then she's Tar, so that's no problem. If option B, she saw Zava for 2 days of her prior Zava period, she did not become a Zava Gedola, so she shifted into her Nidus period, so she has 2 days of Zava, 7 days of Nida, then she still has 1 day of blood for her 10, but that only makes her a Zava Katana, so Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, and then she finishes her 11 days of Zivos, and on the 21st day, she starts her Nidus again. Or option three is that she started seeing 10 days of blood during the end of her Ziva period, so she becomes a Zava Gedola. At that point, she becomes a Zava for all the remaining days that she's bleeding, but then she only needs Shiva Nikim and she's good. But you see, option B, she's messed up if she only had 9 clean days and not 10. So what happened? The first 2 could have been the end of her Zava period, then she has 7 days of Nidus, then she has 1 more day of blood, she becomes a Zava Katana, alright? And if she only has 8 more, if she only has 8 more clean days, so then what's happening? That the last day, the day she sees blood on the 20th, it was really the 11th day of her Ziva. So it's the same cycle that goes over and over. But in any event, now it's going to shift a little bit. So we say, Asar Yamim Tamei Reisi Pischa, Asar, we just did that. Achar Asar, if she says, I saw 11 days, Pischa Tisha, then she needs to see 7 clean days, Amabez, Shneimasar Pischa Shmona, that if she says, I saw 12 days, she needs to wait 8, Shloshasar Pischa Shiva, if she says, I saw 13 days, then her day becomes 7, so let's just look at these cases for a moment, let's just take a look at 12, because 12 is something interesting,
which is the following. So we say that if she sees 12 days of Tumah, then she needs to wait 8 clean days. So what are the options? You see that she has 12 days of Tumah. So option A is that the 12 days of Tumah started with her new Nidus cycle. So she has 7 days of Nidus. Then she has 5 days of that she's bleeding while she's in her Zava period. So she obviously becomes a Zava Gedola, but she has 8 clean days after that. So obviously 8 is more than 7, so she's clean at that. But let's say, again, our complicated case, which is 2 days were the last 2 days of her Zivos, so she became a Zava Katana, then shifted into 7 days of Nidus. She then saw for 3 more days, so she became a Zava Gedola. So that then she waits those, she waits, she became a Zava Gedola from those 3 days, so she waits the Shiva Nikiyim of Zava. But what could happen if you look at option B on the bottom there? You could have an interesting scenario, which is if you only had 7 clean days, because you might say 7 clean days, she became a Zava Gedola. Here's the problem. So this is just a very interesting case. You look at option B, she saw blood for 2 days that were the end of her Ziva period. So she was a Zava Katana. She transitioned into Nida. That takes care of the next 7 days. So it's around 9 days. She then saw for 3 more days, she became a Zava Gedola. She then had Shiva Nikiyim. But if Shiva Nikiyim ended on the 19th day, so why is it that we say that if on the 20th day she would not start her Nidus period again? Because remember, the Ziva period is always 11 days. So she saw blood the first 3 days of her Zava period. She then had Shiva Nikiyim. She's only 10 days. The 11th day, if she sees blood the next day, she's still a Zava. She's a Zava Katana. She's not a Nida because she hasn't finished the 11 days of the Ziva cycle. All right. I'm sorry if it's complicated. That's about as much time as we can spend on this. Okay. So in any event, it continues the Mishnah. She'ein Pesach betoa pochus mishiva v'lo yasar shiva asar. So basically what we saw is that obviously because a woman has to be concerned for all the things we talked about, but generally speaking, she has to be concerned that maybe she was a Zava Gedola. She has to wait 7, but she never has to wait more than 17, because even in those initial cases where we had, once she waits 17 clean days, she starts her cycle again. Okay, Amar Leih Ravada Bar Ava L'Rabba. Ravada Bar Ava says to Rabba, Lama Li Kuli Hai, Timni Shiva V'Tishri. So Ravada Bar Ava said, I don't get it. You're making all these things. Yeah, she has to wait 17 days and 15 days and 13 days. And nothing ever requires her to wait more than 7 days. Because if she's a Nida, it's 7 days or less. And if it's a Zava Gedola, so 7 days clears it up. So after she bleeds, she should only need to count 7 days. So they said, Amar Leih L'Takunei L'Idei Nida Pisco Kamina. No, we're not talking about permitting her to her husband. That's true. You can permit her to her husband anytime she sees 7 clean days. She's obviously not a Nida, and she's obviously not a Zava. Because even if she became a Zava Gedola during the day she bled, she now had Shiva Nikiyim. But if we're trying to figure out when she is in this cycle, remember I said before, if she's confused, she's really messed up, because if she sees blood for 3 days, so does she have 4 more days and then she can go to the mikvah? Or if she was a Nida, or did she become a Zava Gedola and needs to wait Shiva Nikiyim? Does she have to bring karbanos? So they basically answer Rav Adar Bar Abba, you're right, to permit her to her husband, 7 clean days is good. But there could be as many as 17 clean days needed if you want to restart her cycle to figure out when she's a Nida. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan Kol HaToa Zavos Mevias Karban Ve'ena Nechol Chutz Mi Pischa Shiva O Pischa Shmona Shemevias Karban Ve'nechol. So the Brisa says as follows, that all women who are confused are Zavos, and therefore they bring a carbon, and it's not eaten, except for the cases of 7 or 8 that they bring a carbon and eat it. Now, what is the 7 and 8? 7 and 8 were the cases where it was 12 or 13 days that she saw blood. And what's the significance of that? Is that she for sure became a Zava Gedola. So she for sure, because in other words, if someone sees blood for 12 days, even if 2 were the end of her Zava Gedola period, and then 7 was 9, and then she saw 3 more days, so she obviously became a Zava Gedola. Or conversely, if the first 3 days she saw out of the 12 was during her Ziva period, she became a Zava Gedola, and because she kept bleeding, she never got out of her Zava Gedola period, so clearly she has to bring a carbon. So basically what it's saying is, someone who's for sure Someone who's for sure a Zava Gedola has to bring a carbon and it gets eaten. Someone who's a Suffolk carbon, someone who's a Suffolk Ziva, because maybe we walked through this before. Maybe she's a Zava Gedola, maybe not. So then she brings her carbonas, but it can't be eaten. What kind of carbonas does she bring? The Ola, obviously, the Ola bird never gets eaten. The Chatas bird gets eaten by a coin, but only if it was actually a carbon. If it wasn't a carbon, and therefore there's scenarios under which she didn't have to bring a carbon, so the coin can't eat it. But the Gemara has a problem with this price. It says, the beginning said, Kol Hatoh Zavos. All women who are confused are Zava. So says the Gemara, Atah Kol Hatoh Zavos. So it says, is it true that every woman who is confused is automatically a Zava? V'su yom echor shnei yom bas asui karben hi. And as we said before, the beginning of the braisa dealt with a woman who saw blood 1 or 2 days. Obviously, she's not bringing a carbon, but yet she's confused and needs to wait 17 days to figure out her cycle. So why are you saying all confused women are Zavas? So the Gemara says, El kol Zavas atos mevias karben. So he says, rather, it's not that all confused women are Zavos. It's saying all Zavos who are confused, mevian carbon vein and nechel chutz mi pischa shiva pischa shmonish mevias carbon v'nechel. He's saying that basically, if a woman is confused and she might be a Zava Gedola, she should bring her carbonos, and it does not, the chatas part does not get eaten by the coin because she's only a suffix. Maybe it's not really a carbon. And we have exeris akasiv that you can, we have a lima that you could bring. Normally, if you have a suffix, you can't bring chulun lazara. But here we have a thing, you could bring chulun lazara, and you could bring it even if you're not sure. You could bring a suffix to things. So then the question is, if the Torah says you could bring a suffix bird to the Beis HaMikdash, why can't the Kohen eat it? Because if it turns out that it's chulun, how do we bring carbonas of birds? We do malika. Malika makes the animal into a nevela. So if it's a carbon, the Kohen's allowed to eat it. If it's not a carbon, the Kohen is not. Okay, very quickly. Ein b'negayim pachas mishvua echa v'lo yasar al shlosha shvua. So basically, the halacha with tzaras is as follows. There's instances in which the Kohen basically separates, you know, puts it into lockdown for 1 week, 2 weeks, and 3 weeks. So the Mishnah is saying never less than 1 week, never more than 3 weeks. So let's see what's going on here. Says the Gemara, "Pachas mishavua nigei adam," that you never have less than a week is talking about certain kinds of tzaras on a person. Basically, if the tzaras comes in a mechva or a shchin, in a boil or a blister, so then the halacha is basically if the kohen comes and right away sees that it's tzaras, he says it's tzaras. If he can't tell, he waits a week. At the end of a week, the Kohen either needs to say the person is tar or the person is tame. There's no option of locking that person up for more. V'lo yeser al shlosha shvuos, and never more than 3 weeks, that's nigei batim. So basically what happens is as follows. If it's a shchin or a mikva, so you have 1 week the Kohen has, after that he has to declare her tame or tar. Most other kinds of tzaras, you can add a second week. If the Kohen can't tell after 1 week, he locks it up a second week. And for humans and clothing, that's the maximum you can have. For houses, a house has taras, you basically could have 3 weeks. Tosus explains, you would wait a week, you'd check it, you could wait a second week. At that point, you have to destroy it. You don't destroy the house. You cut out the taras, you plaster it over. If it comes back the third week, then you destroy the house. If not, then the house is tar. So you see that you could have up to 3 weeks for taras. Amr Papa. Rav Papa said, Tzikoska kahare keel. So he says, the pasuk says that your tzedakah is like the high mountains. Elu nigei adam. This is talking about nigei adam. So it's saying that basically the Ribbono Shel Olam does tzedakah because a certain nigei adam, certain tzaras on a person, the person only has doubt for 1 week. Mishpatecha tohom rabba, but your judgments, meaning your punishments, are like the depths of the sea, like the depths. Elu nigei batim. That's talking about nigei batim when someone has tzaras in the house because they might have to wait up to 3 weeks till they hear. So the Gemara says, okay, fine, that's a very nice limud of the pasuk, but what's it really talking about? Because, you know, that's just like an interesting tie-in. So it says the Gemara, Pashe the Krabba Maik Siv. What's the pasuk talking about in Pashe Pshat? Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says the way to read the pasuk, the issue they're all dealing with is, are we talking about Hashem's tzedakah or his punishment? So it says, Tzikoska Kareel is talking about tzedakah. Mishvatecha Tahom Rabbah, your judgments are very deep, is talking about punishment. So which is it? So Rabbi Yehuda says as follows, Il Mole Tzikoska Kareel, if not for the fact that your tzedakah was like the tall mountains, Mi yucho lamod lefnei mishvatecha tohom rabba. Who would be able to stand before your deep judgments? We're going to see what he means in a minute. Rabbi says, no, here's how to understand the pasuk. Tzikoska kareel, your tzedakah is like the tall mountains, mi pnei shemishvatecha tohom rabba. Because your judgments are very deep. So one is saying that if not for your tzedakah, we would be in your deep judgment. The other is saying your tzedakah are like the high mountains because your mishpat, your judgments are very deep. But Michael Miflegi, what are they arguing about? But the Rebbe Lezer, Rebbe Yosi, Rebbe Chanina. That they're arguing about what Rebbe Lazar and Rebbe Yossi Bar Rebbe Chanina argue about the Itmar. Rebbe Lazar, Amar Rebbe Lazar says Kovesh. Rebbe Yossi Bar Chanina Amar Nosei. So what's this talking about? So we say that one of the Yogim Midos we say is Rav Chesed, that Rebbe Shalom has lots of Chesed. So we say that what is that? That when a person is even on the judgment, that the Rebbe Shalom makes his merits more. That's Rav Chesed, right? So there's a machlokas there. That what does the Rebbe Shalom do? Does he hide some of our averos and therefore the mitzvahs weighs down heavier and we get a good judgment? Or does the Rabbanu Shalom, so to speak, lift up the side of the scale that has our has the averos and therefore the mitzvahs becomes heavier? So the question is, does he take some away and hide them, or does he lift up the side of the scale that would say that we should get punished, and instead we get our zechuyas go there? So we say, Rabba Krebi Lazav, Rabbi Yehuda Krebi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. So he's saying as follows, Rabba who says that tzikoscha kahare el, that your tzedakah are like the tall mountains, mean pnesha mishpatecha tom Rabba, is saying like Rabbi Lazav, which is that the Rabbanu Shalom hides the averas. So therefore, tzikoscha kahare el, so he says that your tzedakah are like the high mountains. What's your great tzedakah mipnei mishpatecha tohom rabba? Because you take your judgments and stick them into the deep sea. You take them off of the scale, and therefore Klal Yisrael gets a good judgment. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, and Rabbi Yehuda, who says, how would Rabbi Yehuda explain it? Rabbi Yehuda said that if not for your tzidkascha kareel, if not for your tzedakah that's like the tall mountains, who would be able to stand in front of your deep judgment? Is saying as follows: if not for the fact that you lift up one side of the scale, up to the mountains, that if not for that, then Mishpatecha Tohom Rabba, we would be subject to your deep judgment. So basically he's saying, because the Rabbanu Shalom lifts up one side of the scale, and therefore we get a meritorious judgment. So he's saying that if not for his lifting up, we would be down in the deeps. So basically the way they translate the Pasuk is dependent on how they understand whether the Rabbanu Shalom took away Averos or just lifted one side of the scale. I'm sorry if it was a little rushed, but... Have a good day.